do have a little small Sunday humor. This family, the father was at work, and it was around the Christmas holidays, and when the father came home, he noticed that all the lights were out. Well, what had happened was the mother had a nice, intimate supper for the family, for the children, and for him. But as he walked in the door, he noticed all the lights were out and the candles were on. And he said, "Oh, did we not pay our bill?" So that following weekend, when Christmas Eve came, and they had a candlelight service, the family goes to the candlelight service, and the little boy and the little girl come in with Mommy and Daddy, and they sit down, and the boy, little boy says to his daddy, "Daddy, they must have forgot to pay their bill, too." Again, this is the fourth week of Advent, and what we're doing today is we're focusing on love, and we're reminded of God's love for us. You know, we all, even you guys, we all love a good love story, don't we? More probably you ladies than the guys. But, you know, if it's a good love story and it's got sports in it or cars or something like that, yeah, they might enjoy it a little bit more. But every great love story shows a love that demonstrates what? It demonstrates through action. It demonstrates through maybe sacrifice. So what greater love story to share today than the love story of Christmas? Amen? So with that, I'm going to read Luke chapter 2. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree had went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. So all went to be registered, everyone in his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with them an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.' So it was, when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the day, known saying, which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherd. But Mary kept all these things and pondered on them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." You know, God, who looked at his children who were in desperate need of redemption and in desperate need of a Savior, he gave on that first Christmas the most precious gift that we could ever receive, his son Jesus. If you've ever felt like you're out of God's love, this time of the year is a time that we can be reminded of what God did by sending his son, the most precious gift that we could ever, ever receive from now through eternity, is that gift of his own son. Remember, I said that love is an action. Love is an action. And by giving his son, he sacrificed. He put action to his word. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, God talks about that he made you and I a special person. He made us for a special purpose. That he chose us, he actually picked us out. He picked us out for himself before the foundations of the world. That we should be set apart for him. How special is that? That God set us apart for himself. In John 10:10, it says, I have come that they may have life and have life more abundantly. So what's that mean, abundantly? A life that's worth something. A life that means something. A life that has a plan and a purpose. A life that will have eternal consequences for eternity. Consequences such as benefits, rewards, that we will receive when we go to be with God. God couldn't love you any more now than he does at this very moment. He loves you. He loves you enough that he gave his son. Because of Bethlehem, love was born on that first Christmas. The blessing of Christmas takes many forms. We know that. We think about the special gifts that God pours out when he sent his son, and then his son sent the Holy Spirit, and the gift continues to go on and on and on through all generations. But we think about now, at Christmas time, we think about the music. We think about the stores being packed with people buying gifts for their loved ones. We think about the restaurants that are full and people are taking a break from their shopping and the place is packed with so much joy and excitement and anticipation. And we think about Christmas decorations and the lights. We think about all these things. But from all of this, there's going to be someone somewhere out there that is going to say this: what is the big deal about the baby in a manger? What is the big deal? You know, it's hard for us to comprehend that from this country, the United States, that there are some people that don't know Christ, some people that don't know God. That's hard for us to comprehend that. I mean, it's out there every single day. There's a church in some places in every corner of the city. And yet there's still people out there that this time of year, it gets their attention. When you've got those Christmas lights blinking and the music's playing, sometimes it's the Holy Spirit's way of stopping our world around us to focus on Christmas and what Christmas brings to us, what Christmas has brought to us. So again, there's going to be someone somewhere out there that is saying, what's the big deal about the baby in a manger? Christmas is where it all began. The gift of Christ in our lives. He's called Emmanuel for a reason. Because like I said earlier, God came down in the flesh of a baby to be with us. The manger invites us. It even dares us to believe the best is yet to come. Do you hear me? The best is yet to come. Love came down to save us from ourselves. Each of us came into this world with a sinful nature. And yet God said, I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. But God came into this world. He entered this world in a way that we never expected. Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, I didn't come into this world to condemn the world. I came into this world to what? To set it free. To set the world free. To save the world. Heaven's treasure, Jesus, heaven's treasure that became humanity's gift. I'm going to say it tonight, but I want to say it now because the Holy Spirit's led me to say it. How many of us celebrate Christmas and yet we don't receive the free gift that's been offered to us? How many of us celebrate Christmas, the birth of Christ, and yet we don't receive that free gift that he brought to us that first Christmas? I remember, some of you know me, Lois knows my family pretty much, and I was about between 13 and 15 years old, and I think my mom and dad had maybe eight, nine kids at that time, and I remember that we had all opened our gifts Christmas morning, and my dad had this big, huge smile on his face. He could not wait for this particular Christmas. Why? Because after all of us children opened our gifts, he reaches in his pocket and he pulls out this little box, yay by yay. And he's, like I said, he's just beaming. You would think this gift was his. But it was a gift to my mother from him. You see, when they got married, they didn't have much money. All they could afford was a wedding band. But this day, he bought my mother a diamond ring. 16 years later, he gives her this gift. And like I said, he was so excited. He was like a little kid at Christmas time under a tree, you know, the Christmas tree. He was so excited that weeks before he gave this gift, he had went and got it. I think there must have been a jewelry store in Henry at the time, because that's about as far as my father ever went when it came to Christmas gifts, was Henry. And he told us older children that he had bought our mother a diamond for Christmas. You would think that gift was being given to him instead of given to her. He was so, so excited and so pumped up that, like I said, as he pulled that box out of his pocket and he handed it to my mother, you would think and you would have thought it was his gift, not hers. But to give that to her because he loved her. Over 16 years later, she received that diamond ring. And just as this gift to my mother was very, very unexpected and given in love, God gave us the gift of love in an unexpected way. And the Holy Spirit just reminded me of something. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I remember my mom had her name in a drawing, and I think it was Woolworths. And Henry, wasn't that Woolworths? They called it Woolworths. At that time, they had mink stoles, you know, mink coats. Well, she put her name in, because that's where she probably did most of her Christmas shopping, was there. And when she would go the day before Christmas, she was gone all day long, and she would, you know, buy all of our gifts on that day. But that day, they had a drawing for a mink stole. And she put her name in, and wouldn't you know, she won that? She won that. But do you know what my mother did with that? That next day, she rewrapped that gift and she gave it to my Aunt Marie as a gift. She regifted it. And I remember my Aunt Marie wearing it many times, and my Aunt Marie would say to her, Blanche, you can borrow it anytime you want. But again, it was so unexpected. I mean, for my mom to first, it was probably the first thing she ever won in her life. So to receive this mink stole, I mean, to turn around and regift it, she was her sister-in-law, but to my mom, she was her very best friend. And she expressed her love by re-gifting that stole that Mink stole to her. And she looked pretty nice in it. They both looked nice in it. No one expected, though, just as the world did not expect Jesus to do what he did. No one expected God to come in the way that he did. Yet the way he came was every bit as important as the day itself. Because the manger is the message. The manger is the message. If only one person during this holiday season, only one person, their spiritual eyes open up to what the manger, the child who was in that manger, if they can just realize the gift, not just celebrate the birth of Christ, but to receive that free gift, it's worth it. It's worth it. It says in John 3:16, the New Living Translation I'm going to give you with this. It says, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." God loves us so much that he sent Jesus on a mission of love with a message of love. Christmas is a yearly reminder to us that God loves you and he loves me. The Bible talks about it over and over again, that God isn't just or has love, but that God is love. That's his nature. That's his character. That's where love, the root of love comes from, is from God. So praise God today that as we light this candle of love, we are being reminded of a love that's unconditional, unlimited, unmerited, that it never dies, that love never dies. God created the entire universe, the planets, the human race, because he loves us. He created you, he created me as an object for that love. We are the object of his love. God loves us in our good days. He loves us in our bad days. He loves us whether we feel like it or we don't feel like he loves us. He still loves us. God loves us regardless of whether we deserve it or we don't deserve it. There's nothing that we can do to stop the love of God. And I know I shared this one time before about an individual who went to heaven, and Jesus, as he comes back to earth, Jesus says to Jesse, he goes, "Tell my people I'm coming." And he goes, "Well, they know that. They know that." And he goes, "No, no, no. Tell them. Tell them that I am coming." But then he proceeds to tell him, "Most of my children think that my worst day was the day I died on the cross. And it's not. My worst day is turning away those who do not receive me as their Lord and their Savior. That will be the day that will be sad for me, because I have to turn them away because they did not accept me as their Savior. That will hurt. That will be the day I am not looking forward to." God's love for us is based on his character. It's not based on what we say. It's not based on what we do. It's not based on how we feel. It's simply God loves us. He first loved us. And as baby Jesus grows and he goes to the cross and he stretches out his arms on that cross, he's going to say, "I love you this much. I love you this much. I love you so much that it's going to hurt. I love you so much that I'll die for you so that I can never live without you." In Ephesians chapter 3, God's love. You know, if we were trying to comprehend the love of God, We can't. We can't comprehend that kind of love. It says in Ephesians 3, it says that God's love surpasses all human knowledge and understanding, and that we can't grasp the width, the depth, the length, or the height of God's love for us. How would your life change if you really, really believed that God loves you? If you were the only person that was on this planet, and yet you came into this world with a sinful nature, Jesus would die just for you. It's in the believing that we can receive this precious gift of God's love. He's even got it covered, the base covered, in Mark chapter 9, verse 24, where it says, I will even help you with your unbelief. Because Satan likes to come in, and like he tempted Jesus in the wilderness, he tempted him. But Jesus did not take the temptation. Our mind, our reasoning, wants to try to grasp hold of that love. But if we try to, you know, do it on our own strength, what's going to happen? That unbelief is going to come in. But Jesus says, even I will help you with your unbelief. Because when it comes to acknowledging God and understanding his love, we can't comprehend it all. So it always tries to leave a doubt. Maybe he doesn't love me. Look what I'm going through. Look at the valley I've been in for months and years. And how can God say he's with me in this? Satan will come along and try to accommodate that doubt, that unbelief. We learn in this scripture of John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We learn many things from just this one scripture, and it's this. We learn of the amount of God's love. Because it says God so loved. He so loved the world. That's an amount of love. God so loved, the significant amount of God's love is connected to the idea of that he gave. See, the thing is, his love for us is a cause and an effect relationship. It's a cause and effect. Because I love you, I am going to do this for you, to show you my love for you. It's a cause and effect kind of love relationship. He gave what he gave because he loved us so much. That's an amount of love that he has for us. He gave the gift that cost him so much. He acted on his love by giving his son. We learn another thing from the scripture, the object of God's love. For God so loved the world. God didn't wait for the world to turn to him. He first loved us. We also learn of God's expression of love. God's love didn't just feel. He didn't say, I understand you're going through this, and I feel for you. I really feel that you're going through this torment, or you're going through this season in your life. I really feel for you. No, God went a step further. He didn't just feel for us. He did something for us by giving us his son. The next thing that we learn from this scripture is that we are the recipients of God's love. Because it says, whosoever that believes on me. Whosoever. Is that you today? If that's you, then you are a recipient of God's love. When you believe, well, believe in means more than just an intellectual awareness or an agreement. What it means when you say, I believe, it means that I trust in you, God. I rely on you, God. I cling to you, God. Even when I'm going through this valley, I'm still going to cling to you and your love and your faithfulness. We also learn from this scripture the intention of God's love. We should not perish. That's the intention. He does not want us to perish. God's love saves man from eternal destruction. We learn one more thing. We learn the duration of God's love. That it's an everlasting love. That he has promised us, those who believe, those who are recipients, those who are the object of God's love, that he has promised us everlasting life. A God who never changes. He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And when he says, I love you, I gave something that was so valuable to me. I gave so that I could have a life with you everlasting. So from this scripture in John 3:16, we learn that there's an amount to God's love. We learn that we are the object of God's love, and we learn the expression of God's love because he gave. He expressed his love by giving of his son. We learn that we are the recipients, whosoever. And we learn of the intention of God's love, that we might not perish. And we learn the duration of God's love, that it's everlasting. There's no greater love story, no greater love story than this. And we can all be a part of this love story. Today, is there someone that you know that celebrates Christmas? They celebrate the birth of Christ, but yet they don't receive the free gift of salvation. I'm sure there's one person, a family or a friend or a coworker, someone that you know, they have not received that gift of salvation. That free gift, it's already been paid for. And it was just as much for them as it was for you. It was meant for just as much for them as for you. And you say, well, I've tried to minister to them. I've tried to share the love story of Christ. I've tried to share the good news of the gospel. And yet they do not receive it. Those are times when God brings that person to your remembrance. You need to just say, Lord, I'm glad your hand is upon this situation. I'm glad that you're sending a person across their path because they don't receive it from me. But Father, you send that right person to cross their path. Last night, as I was going to bed, I always like to listen to a message, a sermon or whatever. And I can't pronounce his last name if I wanted to. His name is Nick. He was born without arms and without legs. And he shares his message. And then at the end of the message, he says, the Holy Spirit says that there are men and women here that have come walking in with a knife or a gun. And God has said to you, give it up. There was garbage cans on both sides of that auditorium at the top of the stage. And one by one, eight men, and I think seven men and one woman, came up and they pulled whatever they had weapon-wise and they dropped it into that garbage can. Nick was sensitive to the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. These men and this woman wept at the altar, literally wept, but yet they didn't just celebrate the birth of Christ. They received the free gift that God offered them through his son, Jesus. Father, as we close in this message today, Father, we ask that you give us wisdom. We ask, Father, that you direct us, that you get our attention so that we can share that good news of the gospel, that we can be that right person at the right time at the right place, and that what, who that individual is, that you prepare them to receive that message that you have, so that they too not only can celebrate the birth of Christ, but that they also can receive that free gift of salvation. We thank you that there is no human experience that we'll walk through where you and your love cannot reach us, Father. If I climb to the highest mountain, you are there. Yet if I find myself in the darkest of valleys, you are there. Father, teach us to love you more. Teach us to be more obedient to you, Father, and your leading and your guiding. Help us to rest in that love that asks nothing more than a simple, trusting heart of a little child. You said, bring the little children unto me. Let our hearts be that of those like little children. Thank you, Father. Thank you that today we, the recipients, the objects of your love, that we can receive your gift of love, and that that gift, that we not only celebrate the birth of your Son, Jesus, but that we receive that free gift of salvation. Because it's through Christ that that gift keeps on giving and giving and giving. Amen.